I'm going to read a few scriptures just as a foundation for it today. Proverbs chapter 3, you're familiar with this scripture in verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with part of your heart. With all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Then in Psalm 62:8, scripture exhorts us, trust in Him at all times. How often?
All.
So we've got all of our heart, and we've got what? Trusting Him? All times, you people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Then in Psalm 56:3, we find out that when we're intimidated, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. And at that moment, we have to choose to trust Him rather than give ourselves over to fear or worry or fretting or anxiety. Today, you're either trusting God or you're in a place of anxiety, in a place of fretting, a place of worrying, but you can't be in both of those places at the same time. Then over in Psalm 20, verse 6 and 7, now I know the Lord saves His anointed. Shout it out. I am one of His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving might of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Come on, shout that out. Some trust in chariots and in horses, but we trust, I trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, to help you understand this, if you've had little or no teaching, or just as a reminder, to trust is to place the full weight of your confidence on an individual. In this case, we're talking about the Lord Himself. And how many have learned that that is not misplaced? You can put the full weight upon Him, because He will uphold you. It means firm reliance on the integrity, ability, or character of a person or thing. You can count on that person. You can rely on that person. You can depend on Him. And how many found out you can depend on God? Amen. That's important to understand that, you know, on the teachings of this church and regarding the spirit of faith, faith without works is dead. If you believe that, raise your hand and say, I believe that. But to understand how trust relates to these concepts, understand that trust is the bridge between your faith and the works. If you believe something, then you will trust it and you will let that thing guide your decisions and your actions. Say that with me. That trust is the bridge between my faith and works. At the end of the day, if you and I don't trust God, we're not going to follow through. Trust is what you do between the amen and the there it is. Anybody here in your life, in some area of your life, in a situation where you're between the amen and the there it is? You said the prayer, but it hasn't manifested yet. What do you do? That bridge, that trust is the bridge between the faith and the works, between the amen and the there it is. I believe something, first of all, then I trust, I depend on Him, and then I do the works. I act on that particular thing. And that, in a nutshell, is something that either blesses our lives or holds us back. We can believe God's word about something, but if we don't trust Him, we will not do it. And I've been saying to this church for years that faith is not the only, you know, element that affects your receiving from God. We've taught you that love is one of those variables. We've taught you that, you know, walking in love, of course, and being a person that is patient, where your patience undergirds your faith. We talked to you about the importance, you know, of having compassion, because compassion will release the power of God. Trust is one of those elements that affects our receiving God. And if I don't trust Him, I'm not going to actually do what He tells me to do. A simple illustration is something like the tithe. How many believe the tithe is God's work? We can believe that, but if we don't trust Him, we will not be a tither. How many believe in the power of prayer? Amen. How many believe seeking God is a command of God? Amen. Yes, we believe that, but if we don't trust Him enough, we will not execute that particular command. You can go through the Word of God time and time again, and you will see that it is a lack of trust that caused so many of God's people to miss out. And when they did trust Him between the amen and the there it is, there was great breakthrough. I mean, put yourself in Gideon's place for a moment. After paring you down from thousands and thousands of soldiers to 300, God gives you an amazing plan to defeat the enemy. You're going to have a torch in one hand, a lantern, and you're going to have a sword in the other. And what you're going to do to the opposing army that is made up of thousands and thousands is you're going to, all one time, throw those things on the ground and shout. And that's going to defeat the enemy. If you don't trust God, you're not going to stand there with a lantern and a sword. You're going to run. Amen. Because that's the nature of that. If you don't trust him, you're not going to do what he tells you to do. If you're the widow woman that's about to cook a meal for your son and yourself and then die, and somebody shows up and says, first make a cake for me. If you don't trust God, you're not going to do what he says. So you're never going to see the oil continue to flow and the meal continue to be supplied all the time of that famine. Say it with me. It is trust that causes my faith to manifest. Say it with me again. It is my trust that causes my faith to manifest. It's the bridge between your faith, amen, and the works that you're supposed to do. Now, you know, not too long ago, this video came out. If you want to show this for us, guys. And this actually was a church staff, and they were basically doing an illustration called the trust game or the falling game. And you have one individual stand up, and they're supposed to trust that everybody else is going to catch them. I don't recommend you do it exactly like this, though.
Close your eyes. All right. And then everybody fill in. And we're going to ask you to fall, and then they will catch you. Because you have to trust us. I'm going to count to three. Relax and fall. Okay? One, two, three.
No, wait, no, no!
I can't be completely sure, but I'm pretty sure that was the youth pastor. I sure hope they check their liability insurance before that happened. Amen. You see, I believe God's word about something. I depend on him. Amen. I trust him. And then what happens is I actually execute that. And the reason you and I don't obey or follow through on a command or a principle that God has told us to uphold is we just don't trust him. But say it with me, I can trust him. He doesn't say one thing and then do another. He doesn't do the switcheroo. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
He can count on him to do what he said he would do. There's some great and amazing benefits to trusting him. Let me give you a few of these today. First of all, trusting God keeps you on the right track in life. The rest of that chapter, that rest of that verse in Proverbs 3 for the message says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Anybody in here try to do that all the time? Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. When I see Christians veering off and getting off track, I tell you, often it's because they don't trust him. Somehow they think that their flesh and their thinking, their mental capacity can do what God can't do. Listen, you will never be smarter than him ever. I'm starting to realize that about Kelly. I'm never going to be as smart as she is. We were in the mountains this past week, and all they wanted to do was see a black bear. I saw, and I'm not talking about in the picture, I'm talking about, you know, kind of up close. You know, a few weeks ago, black bear roamed down the streets of Gatlinburg and walked into a candy store and helped himself. People were just looking at it, you know, didn't do anything with it. Another bear, you know, this family got the hot tub cover off a hot tub, and they decided they're going to go in the hot tub, but they went back inside to get something. When I got back out, there's a black bear who crawled up the steps and in the hot tub. I got to thinking, I'd love to have a hot tub experience with a black bear. Hallelujah. She says, well, I'm believing God you won't see a black bear. And I said, I'm believing God that I will see a black bear. And do you know the only black bears I saw? A salt and pepper shaker at the restaurant. That's it. So I'm 0-for-1 with a black bear faith. Hallelujah. God is smart. He knows what to do. You trying to figure it out in your flesh is not helping you. It will get you off track every single time. But pouring your heart out to God, listening to that voice, he will keep you on track. One of the reasons we veer off is because we don't trust God with what He said. We don't trust God with His decision. We don't trust God with His direction. We've got a better idea. Listen, God knows exactly what you need. He knows what you need to hear. He knows what you need to do. You need to trust Him. Number two, trusting God gives us perfect peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3 that He'll keep in perfect peace. Say perfect peace. All who trust in You, whose thoughts are fixed on You. Say it with me, perfect peace. One of the things that happens is when you begin to get into the flesh about things in life, you lose your peace. But when you trust God, you walk in peace, you keep your peace, you maintain your peace. You trust in Him. You keep your mind fixed on Him and not the problem. The scripture over in Romans 9:33, see, I lay in Zion a foundation. And it goes on to say, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. You don't have to worry about something not going right, somehow your reputation being affected, somehow everybody looking down on you. No, you're not going to be put to shame. In fact, if you're born again, you have nothing to be ashamed of. Amen. Raise your hand if you're born again. Say it with me, no shame here.
No shame.
That shame is covered by the blood, glory to God. The Bible goes on to say in Psalm 32:10, God's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in Him. One of the most amazing things you have in God is a peace that passes all understanding. It keeps your heart and your mind in Him. And you're not going to get that by letting the flesh rule your life. You get it by trusting in Him. And say it with me, not just in the easy times, but in every single time, every single season of your life. You trust Him in those tough times. Number three, trusting God gives you strength. Isaiah 30:15 says, in quietness and trust is your strength. Say that with me. In quietness and trust is my strength. A lot of people in the body of Christ are just plain wore out. They can't lift a finger spiritually. They're dead as a doornail. And one of the reasons they're doing that is because they're trying to figure everything out in their own mind, in their flesh. Let the Lord be the strength of your life. As you wait on Him, as you trust upon Him, your strength actually increases. I can't quite tell you all the reasons I feel this way, but one of the biggest challenges in the body of Christ today is spiritual weakness. God's people are weak. God's people are struggling. God promises you strength. Be encouraged again today and let your faith rise up as you hear these words from Isaiah. He gives strength to those who are tired and more power to those who are weak. Even children become tired and need to rest. Although I'm not sure my grandkids apply to that particular scripture. Amen. No rest. But the people who trust the Lord will become strong again.
Amen. Amen.
I prophesy over you, strong again.
Yes.
Say it with me, I am strong, mighty, powerful, courageous, strong again. But the people who trust the Lord will become strong again. They'll rise up as eagles in the sky, and they'll run and not need rest, and they'll walk and not become tired. I tell you, when you're trusting God, you stay on track, you walk in the peace of God, and you walk in the strength of God. There is a supernatural infusion that takes place when you get into His presence and stay in His presence. In church, you can't find it anywhere else. You're going to find it in television. You're going to find it in work. You're going to find it in a bottle. You're not going to find it in a pill. You're not going to find it in sex. You're only going to find this in His presence. That is where the strength of God rises up on the inside of you. And guess what? There's a never-ending supply of it. If you and I today are tired and wore out, it's because we've chosen to be. Because we're going every place else except to the one place where you get the strength from. It's not complicated. There's only one name given among men under heaven by which you must be saved. And there's only one place to get that strength. And it's the same person. He'll keep you on track. He'll give you perfect peace. He'll strengthen you. And number four, He'll make you truly blessed in every season. This is a critical scripture in Jeremiah 17, so I want you to listen to this very carefully. Trusting God makes you truly blessed in every season. Anybody out there want to be truly blessed in every season? Raise your hand if you've had some down days this past year. Couple of you? The rest of y'all need to repent for lying? Sin of omission. Let me try that again. How many had some challenging days this past year? The good news for you and for me is God's blessing works in any season. Famine, plenty, hardship, ease, amen. challenges, everything going your way. In every season, the blessing works. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. The person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They'll not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. You trust yourself. You trust other people. There is no way for you to walk in the full blessed life that God has for you. And you know, when we're under pressure, we are tempted to try to figure out how to make everything work. Listen, that is the assignment of God, not you. You're not capable of fixing everything. You're not even called to fix everything. And a lot of people think they look at folks that are super, super rich and say, well, those folks are blessed. Look at that. They have no problems at all. You know, I'm going to tell you this as plain as I can. Only the Word of God, only your relationship with God can cause you to walk in the blessing in every area of your life. One super rich man, his wealth is untold. He's one of the persons who visited Epstein's Island over and over again. I assure you, he wasn't there to fish. That's not prosperity. Another very, very wealthy man has, you know, multiple kids from multiple women in relationships. In other words, he's got all the money in the world, and yet he has absolutely no understanding how to live a blessed life when it comes to God's design of interpersonal relationships. No, there's only one way to have the blessed life in God, and that's do it His way, not try to figure this thing out in your flesh. Amen. Watch this. Aren't you glad you've been redeemed from the curse? Amen. Come on, say, I have been redeemed from the curse. Jesus became a curse for us. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? He redeemed you from the curse and restored the blessing. But I found out that the curse has a way of creeping back into people's lives. Look at somebody and smile and say, don't let that creep curse in your life. You going back to your old ways to try to fix everything on yourself and do everything on your own, that'll cause the curse to creep right back into your life. Born again or not. And religious people don't like to hear this. And some folks just think, well, guess what? Everything is done. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to believe. I don't have to stand. Yeah, you do. And one of the things you got to stand against is yourself.
Amen.
Am I speaking truth today?
Yes.
Your biggest enemy doesn't have horns and a pitchfork. Your biggest enemy is staring you in the face when you get up in the morning. You are not promised a blessed life through your flesh. It comes as a dispensation of grace because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But that curse and what comes with it will try to creep back into your life if you violate the scripture. But that's not us today.
Amen.
But, canceling out the previous part, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its root by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Hallelujah. That's you.
Amen.
Come on, say, that's me. Because what? I trust in God. Well, I'm born again. You know, everything should be automatic. It doesn't work that way. You have to align yourself with the truth of God's word and stay in that alignment. And that alignment is trusting in God. The more you trust Him, the more blessed your life can be. The more you get into the flesh, the more frustrated you're going to be. God has the solution. Can I have an amen today? God has the solution. So I prophesy over you today. You're blessed people. I said you're blessed people. You're trusting God in your life. You are going to flourish in every season. It makes absolutely no difference what this world does, because your situation is not attached to what this world does. It's attached to what God has already done. You're blessed. I said you're blessed. Shout it out. Say, I am blessed. I can't be cursed. I've been redeemed from the curse. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. Everything I put my hand to prospers. Now go ahead and lay your hand on somebody. Blessed. Amen. I don't know about you, but You know, I remember days before I was right with God, the flesh. It's a frustrating way to live. Well, nothing's happening, so I guess I'll help God out. Can you hear yourself?
Yeah.
All you're going to do is make more of a mess.
Yep.
One thing you can choose to do is trust Him with all your heart. Say, trust Him with all my heart. What'll happen is He'll keep you on the right track. He'll keep you in perfect peace when this world is nuts. And if you don't think this world's not nuts, just go to Bucky's sometime. I mean, I saw Bucky's, one of the first ones over near Fort Worth, North Fort Worth, Texas, and Timothy was with me. I thought, this is strange. There's a giant beaver outside. And there's like a kajillion gas pumps. And there's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. You can't even get into the driveway and get out. What is this all about? And they're serving brisket and beef jerky and all kinds of things. And they have the biggest, best bathrooms in the history of mankind. And if you're wondering what a Bucky's is, one's going to come around Lone Oak here in Kentucky in the next year or so. So hey, I preach alone up here, amen. I was supposed to go outside Clarksville, but they wouldn't do some rerouting of the roads. They're going to lose all that revenue.
Yeah.
That was a dumb decision. But you go in there, and it means pandemonium. On the way back the other day, they're everywhere. You can't even walk. And they're just excited to, instead of spending 2 minutes at a gas station and leave, they're excited to stay and spend time with a beaver. And I said to myself, you people that are really savvy with social media, if you want a new YouTube channel, here's one for you. The people of Bucky's. You've seen those videos where the people of Walmart, where they go to Walmart with pajamas on. And I go to Walmart kicking and screaming. But I went into Bucky's, I looked around, and I saw this pandemonium and thought, this nation's in trouble. We need to pray. Say it. Nuts. Aren't you glad there's peace? You're not going to find that at a Bucky's or a Walmart or any other retail operation this time of year. You're only going to find it in Him by trusting in Him.
Amen.
Say it with me. I'm on the right track. I have peace. I have strength. And I'm truly blessed because I have learned to trust Him. Amen. So the goal today is you walking out of here just having a handle on actually how to increase that level of trust in your life. And it's not complicated, but it takes some discipline when you're in the middle of some kind of a fire or adversity or challenge or something that's not going right. Anybody here this year, something didn't go right for you? Well, guess what? The year's not over yet. Hey, Pastor, I haven't experienced all of my more yet. The year's not over yet. God can do it in a split second if you'll just continue to trust Him. I'll tell you one thing, you won't get anything if you throw your trust down at this late hour. Come on, say, I'm not of those that shrink back. We're of those that press in and we see the rewards of God, the victory of God. But there's a temptation to say, well, you know, that didn't work, so I'll try something else. Listen, there's nothing else to try. Peter realized that when everybody walked away from Jesus, when they thought he was teaching on cannibalism, and he wasn't. He was talking about the sacrificial, you know, lamb, what God was going to do through him. And basically, they all left. And so Peter gave Jesus the right answer when the Lord said, are you going to leave too? And he said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There's nothing to go to. These people get on social media and they talk about deconstructing their faith and how, you know, well, we've been delivered from the church and how horrible it was. And we've opened up our eyes that there are many pathways to heaven. You haven't opened up your eyes. You're deceived. What happened was somebody slandered your God and slandered His word and you bought into that because slander always precedes deception.
Yeah.
Ask Adam and Eve. You're nothing original, and there's nothing specifically unique about you that I've deconstructed in my faith. Let me help you out what it means to deconstruct your faith, what it means for somehow you to have your eyes open to other things. It means you're backslidden. That's what it means. You're backslidden, just have the guts to say it. And as far as the church hurt me and wounded my feelings, it's time for the church to realize why they're really here. You're not here for your feelings. You're here for a mission, hallelujah. And as long as you're dealing with human beings, there are going to be issues. Unless you want a bunch of robots in the church. See, I'm not too worried about artificial intelligence because I know where the intelligence is coming from. I know how it was programmed in the first place.
Amen.
I mean, look where we are with real intelligence. No, God has done nothing to you but good. You make your judgments on your walk with God and the house of God based on your God and not a human being. Has God still been good to you? Can you still trust Him? Is He the one that's for you and not against you? Nobody talks to me. Who cares? Nobody smiles. Big deal. We're talking about the end of all times right now. And you're concerned with a handshake at church? Let me just say it like I mean it. Grow up. Just grow up. Put on your big boy pants. Amen. Take away those pull-ups and put on some big boy pants. And realize what this is all about. It was always about God, and it's still about God. And at some point in time, you transfer that to people and what they do or don't do, how they act or don't act, how they treat you wrong or right, then you got into the flesh somewhere on your journey, and you need to get back to trusting God again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be pleasantly surprised when people do well, even in the church.
Yes.
But don't get offended when people don't do you right. Because they're not perfect. And here's a newsflash for you. Neither are you. I'm looking for a perfect church. Let me know when you find it. I want to send a camera crew because when you walk in the door, you just ruined it. You just ruined it. It was never about the people. It's always been about Him. And the more you make your walk with God about people instead of Him, you're going to have problems. You're going to be defeated. So what am I doing to increase, you know, that trust in Him? Number one, I'm recalling all the times He came through. And we can't count them all. Come on, say, He's been good to me. He's been so good to me. Scripture says, I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember your wonders, and I will also meditate on all your works and talk of your deeds. Amen. Instead of talking about people and what they did or didn't do, how about talking about what God did?
Amen.
Fill your mouth and heart with stories of how He came through in your life. I said, church, has He been good to you?
Yes.
Has He been good to you?
Yes.
Let's talk about that. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Scripture from the first one is Psalm 77, 11 and 12 and Psalm 9, 10. We need to remember what He has done. Amen. You didn't know how you're going to pay that bill, but God.
Amen.
You didn't know how you're going to come out of that physical adversity, but God.
Amen.
You didn't know how you're going to deal with that situation, but God.
Amen.
What you do is you remember. And if He's done all of that, is He done moving in your life? No. You on purpose recall the times that He came through. Let me ask you again, church. Has He come through for you?
Yes.
Let me ask you again. Has He come through for you?
Yes.
Has He come through for you big time?
Yes.
Yes. And what do you need to do? You just continue to do that. And the more you think about what He's done, the more you talk about what He's done, the more you're going to trust Him, because you say to yourself, if God did it once, He can do it again. Say, I trust Him. Because He's always come through. In these last days, He's going to come through big time for you.
Amen.
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 We're in the last sliver of time, amen, before the return of the Lord. Unless you really are as dumb as a brick, you know this is true. Everything is lining up just perfectly for His appearing. And the good news for you is God has a lot of prayers to answer and a lot of harvest to bestow and a lot of good things to deposit in God's people before that happens.
Amen.
Can you receive that in Jesus' name?
Yes.
You trust Him. What has He done for you? It goes beyond just, you know, flapping your gums and, you know, with a heart that's really not filled with gratitude and just realizing that He has been so faithful to you. When you're going through a tough time, all you see is the problem. And there's some folks in here, you're battling that right now. It's a big time issue in front of you and it's consuming your thoughts, your words, everything. And the Lord is trying to tell you, no, you need to remember all the times He came through. I'm telling you, I don't know what's going on. He's going to come through for you again. I said, He's going to come through for you again. That's His nature. Nature of people is, you know, we'll let each other down, but not God. What do you do between the faith, the amen, and there it is? You trust. You trust. Number two, you need to roll the care of that thing on Him. Whatever it is, whatever thing's going on, you need to learn how to roll the care on Him. This is done on purpose. Scripture says, cast your cares on the Lord, and He'll sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Can you receive that?
Amen.
1 Peter, same scripture, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. That word cares literally means anxieties, but can refer to any affliction, any kind of hardship, any kind of circumstance that arises in your life. Listen to this from Matthew chapter 6, verse 32 and 33. Therefore, take no thought saying, say that with me, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you as well. We often quote that scripture, but don't forget the premise that it's based on. And the premise that the thing is based on is take no thought saying. And you and I, when we're under pressure, that's when we say consciously, I'm going to trust God even more in this situation. And how do I do that? Practically, you roll the care on the Lord. Casting from the Greek, it literally means lambano, to suddenly, immediately fling that thing over on God. Look at somebody and say, I'm taking my care and I'm flinging it on God. Not after you beat it back and forth for hours. Take no thought saying. If you're not familiar with this teaching, write this down. The first way you do that is you don't touch that issue with your thought life. You are not going to figure everything out with that matter between your ears. Don't touch it with your thoughts. What do you do instead? You fill your thought life with the Word of God and what God says about that situation, but don't touch it with your thoughts. Number two, don't touch it with your words. That's how you get into trouble. You take the thought and then you begin to say it. That's when it gets dangerous. That's when you give that life, that thought life, and give it inroads into your life, is when you take the thought saying. Say it with me, I refuse to touch it with my thoughts or my words. And number three, refuse to touch it with your actions. That's how you roll it over on the Lord. If you're thinking about it, talking about it, trying to figure out the solution, going out there and doing stupid stuff and making it worse, you didn't roll that care over on the Lord. You didn't cast that care over on the Lord. And why did you not? Because you don't trust Him like you should. I've got to think about it. I've got to talk about it. I've got to fix it. If you'll just wait on God, God can give you an answer just like that. And all of a sudden you know exactly what to do in that situation. Instead of spending hours and weeks and even years sometimes trying to flesh that thing out, it just simply will not work. Not only am I going to recall all the times he came through, I'm going to roll the care over on him. Shout this out. I'm rolling the care over on the Lord. Say it. I refuse to touch it with my thoughts or my words or my actions in Jesus' name. Say it. I refuse. I say, well, after I do that and it comes back, what are you going to do? You're going to do it again. It's going to require a little bit of discipline on your part. Oh, I don't like discipline, Pastor. Shocking. When it comes back, what you going to do? Say, no, I trust God. I cast the care on the Lord. I'm not touching it with my thought, with my words, with my actions. And number three today, rejoice your way through it. Come on, shout it out. Rejoice my way through it. Between that amen, and there it is. The bridge between my faith and my works. What am I doing? I'm rejoicing. Pastor, I don't feel like rejoicing. Nobody asked you if you felt like rejoicing. You're supposed to be Christians. Different. Amen. Smile at somebody, say, now tell your face that. Scripture tells us in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord when everything is great. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Do you know how many times that phraseology appears in the New Testament? Once. The emphasis on rejoicing in the midst of the fire is singular in terms of how many times that principle applies and how many times that specific word structure is there. Shout it out, rejoice,
rejoice
in the Lord,
in the Lord.
Always.
Always.
Does anybody in this fine church know where Paul was when he wrote that?
In
prison, chained to a wall. Amen. Dung infested, rat infested, smelly, dirty, filthy, a place where they put people to die, and if they didn't die, they would execute them. That's where he wrote this from. And here you and I are. Oh, it's so hard, Pastor, I can't rejoice. Well, let's throw you in the sewer for a few weeks and see if you change your mind. But I promise you, you have gone through nothing that compares to what this man of God went through. And he's the one saying what? No one could ever say to Paul, that's easy for you to say. Shout it out, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Isaiah 61, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. You are blessed. You are covered with soundness and wholeness and healing and prosperity and direction and victory and peace. Glory to God. You are covered.
Amen.
You got every reason to rejoice. Now, I'll rejoice if something good happens, but until then, I'm just going to hold my peace. No, you don't hold your peace. You be like Bartimaeus. You shout all the more before anything happens in your life. Glory to God. You've been around this church any length of time at all, you know what we teach about rejoicing. And that particular word has three very specific meanings. And one of them means to be glad. Say it, I am so glad.
I am so glad.
Here goes some of y'all. I am so glad, Pastor. I'm so glad. Let's try that again. Say it, I am
glad.
He has made me glad. If you're really in a mode of trust right now and you're growing in trust, you're going to be
glad.
Glad. So we'll try it one more time and find out who's glad and who's sad. Glad, sad. Amen. Say it with me. I'm glad.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad. What am I glad about? It means to brighten up. Let me see a bunch of smiles out there. No, when church is over and I get to eat, then I'll smile. You see, these things are not dependent upon circumstances or choices. So I choose to be glad. And I choose to brighten up. Amen. Say it, I rejoice. Again. And again.
And again.
And the more I do, the more my trust is going to grow.
Amen.
So your trust is one of the primary ways you demonstrate, cultivate, and maintain your faith until you see there it is. Amen. Those of you who've been looking for the Lord's return for a long time, one of these days your faith will become sight. Amen. But the closer you get, the more rejoicing you ought to do.
Amen.
The King is coming. I said the King is coming.
Yes.
I said the King is coming.
Yes, Lord.
Think about who you are and where you're going and amen. Who are you going to be hanging out with? Glory to God. We have every reason in the world to what? To be glad and to brighten up. And the third meaning of that word is to twirl about. Now, in my church growing up, there wasn't a lot of twirling. We were what you call a non-twirling church. We didn't have the gift of twirl. Amen. Timothy did when he was real little. He'd sleep in our bed, you know, from time to time, and his head would be up here. Then by midnight, he'd be like that. Then by the middle of the night, he'd be down here. Then he'd be back over here at 3 o'clock and then start all over again. He's the twirl meister. Are you still like that? You're pretty much in one place. You're reaping now, aren't you? You got the sow and the flow, don't you now? Don't you? Yes, you do. But, you know, we didn't do much dancing or swaying or clapping. I'm convinced the church council would have had a heart attack if anybody actually started clapping in the church. What's that all about? And raising of hands. If somebody raised their hands in our church, the pastor said, you got a question? It is. So like me, you know, you're not used to some of the things you see in a spirit-filled church. That doesn't mean that we can just ignore the plain teachings of Scripture. We do a lot of things after we're born again that we didn't do before. And how many know we stopped doing a lot of things after we got born again that we used to do? And, you know, twirling is one dimension of that rejoicing. And y'all found out you can't twirl and stay miserable.
No.
Twirling takes the misery right out of you.
Yes, it does.
Stand up, I'm going to prove it to you. No, I mean it, stand up. Now I'm going to give my mom a little grace here. Say it with me. I'm glad.
I'm glad.
I'm bright.
I'm bright.
And I rejoice.
I rejoice.
That's pretty good. Why don't you come up here, Barb? You got mom? And anyone in the building who does not participate, they're going to come up and help Barb. Come on up here. Amen. Smile at somebody and say, prepare.
Prepare.
To get your twirl on.
Now,
how many would love to talk to people like King David one day?
Amen.
When he brought the ark back into the covenant, he was disrobed and he was just completely out of his head in love with the Lord and just rejoicing in God. And one of the things you would have seen him doing was the very thing we're talking right now, twirling down that road. Now watch this, because you can't be trusting God and then make light of or make fun of people like David. You know, Michael did from a window and despised him. Mm-hmm. You know what David said in reply? That's exactly right. You think I'm indignified now?
Yeah.
And he did. How many understand he was demonstrating trust in God?
Yes.
He was pleased to have God's presence back where it belonged. And you know what? You don't have to go to some building to look for some created ark where God dwelt. He's in the inside of you right now. If anybody has cause to brighten up and smile, be glad and twirl, it's the born again believer. We have him here. He's twirling over a God that sat on a box. That God is in us. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So just by way of example, show us what a twirl looks like. That's pretty good. Come on, shout it out. Be glad. Brighten up. And rejoice. I do recommend you keep your hands down a little bit. I don't want to have to explain why 15 people were knocked out during the Hope Harbor Church service on Sunday morning. That's going to be a tough one. So are you ready?
Yep.
We're going to rejoice.
Yeah.
Do I have any rejoicers here?
Yeah.
You got to get some room over here. I appreciate you taking the exhortation over there. Now, rejoice with everything on the inside of you. You twirl. And you praise him and you exhort him. And I'm going to ask anybody, if you're still sad, I'm going to come over there and cast the devil out of you. Amen. So we brighten up, we are glad, and we rejoice. Amen. Woo! 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 Some of you are like, I'm rejoicing, but I'm also dizzy right now. Well, if you rejoice the other way, it'll unwind it. Now, I noticed that the lady who had great faith for no bears wasn't quite twirling like she needed to twirl. Come on. I come down here. I don't care. We brighten up.
You're going to twirl too.
Yeah. Here you go.
All right.
You brighten up. My mom's face. What you all doing? We brighten up. Amen. We're glad. And we twirl. Why? That's what it means to rejoice. He brought his own twirl machine over there. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, let's rejoice. Amen. Honestly, how many of y'all feel a whole lot worse after doing that? Pastor, I'm not raising my hand getting the devil cast out of me today. Here's the key. You may be a little self-conscious in public, but in your prayer closet, in your house, I'm just telling you, you want to grow in your trust for God. You learn to apply these principles. You start thinking about everything that he has done. Amen. You start praising him for what he has already accomplished and what he said he would do. You start rolling the care of it over on the Lord, and you're going to go into, amen, rejoice mode pretty naturally. Amen?
Amen.
Nobody's around you. And if, you know, you go home and you see your husband, your wife, or kids, and they're twirling, just say, praise God, they got it. They got it. They got it. Amen. There is just something liberating about keeping that command. Rejoice in the Lord always. Shout it out. Brighten up.
Brighten up.
Be glad.
Be glad.
Twirl about.
Twirl about.
Amen. Okay. It's not recommended you do this over at Cracker Barrel. Knock a whole tray across the aisle there, and then you'll say, well, Pastor said.
Yeah.
No. He's a good God. Your worship team is coming back to lead you in some rejoicing. Amen. Give them a hand clap as they come.